The Lord tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kanes from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck.
And that has happened. One pastor friend of mine, he said, you know, we had a couple come visit, and he said we had a lot of folks in church that day. It was really packed, so I didn't know there were visitors, you know, came in the back there. And when he used the illustration, it described their marriage situation to the T, you know. And afterwards, this guy from his church came up and said, I had some visitors come today, and they're mad at me because they think I set them up. You know, they think I told you about their situation, so when it happened, that you were just going to really beat them up when they got here, you know. And the pastor had no clue, see? Now, what was that? That was this word of knowledge. And again, God was giving those people a chance to repent, you know, to admit the sin in their life, to confess, to get free from that, and then to walk clean before the Lord. So that can happen even while you're teaching. And I think I told you a situation I had before where a lady had called for a ride to church, and I didn't know her, but they asked me if I would give her a ride, and I called her back. And as I was talking to her, the thought of abortion popped in my mind. Well, at the time, I didn't understand spiritual gifts at all. That might be one reason the Lord doesn't want us to be ignorant of these. So when that happened, I didn't say anything to her because I was rather embarrassed that the thought popped in my head like that. And sure enough, a week later, I found out that she was talking to Lisa in the nursery and said she had had abortion that week. So I felt bad. I thought, man, the Lord was trying to reach her through me, and I didn't understand the gifts enough to even step out and do that. So I just caution you on this one, too. The word of knowledge is a very interesting gift, but it can be very powerful if it's used properly. But, you know, we got to be careful to make sure that the thought we have is from the Lord. So I caution you this because there are folks who go around churches and say, you, sinner, I know what you've done and all this, you know, and it may not have anything to do with the Lord or that person. It might have been the pizza they ate before they went to bed or something, you know. So you just want to make sure it's of the Lord. And there are ways to do that tactfully. You know, that lady on the phone, I could have said, you know, I just had a thought that came to me about abortion. I just want to ask you, does that have anything to do with something going on in your life or somebody you know, you know? And could have approached it tactfully like that just to get the conversation started. So when the Lord gives us this, it's a gift that he means to be used, that's intended for that. Whenever the Lord gives you something like that, I would say at least step out in faith and test the waters, you know? See if it's of the Lord or not. And you'll find out if you're tactful about that, okay? Okay, go on in the passage again. And at the end of verse 8 again, it says, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And he keeps focusing on the Spirit doing these gifts, okay? So we know it's not anything with us. Verse 9, it says, to another, faith. Now, the gift of faith he's talking about is a special faith for a situation that you might have, a special ability to believe that God's going to do something, and you have almost zero doubt, okay, that God's going to do it. And that is a special gift of faith. In Acts chapter 3, we see a little picture of this. Turn back to Acts chapter 3. And we've got a situation here where there was a man that was going to be healed, okay? So we see an overlap of some of the gifts in this story and in other places too. The Lord might use some of these together because there's going to be a gift of healing that occurs here also. It says in verse 6, then Peter said, gold, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And then in verse 7 is where you see this faith, okay? It says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Then it says he jumped to his feet, began to walk. So picture this, that Peter walks up to this guy, and he tells him to stand up and walk. Okay, now that's one thing to say that, but then he actually reached down and took the guy's hand to help him up. Well, Peter had faith at that point that he knew, when I take that guy's hand and pull him up, he's going to walk. That's going to happen, okay? So when you see something like this where you've got extreme faith on something, and you know almost beyond any doubt that it's going to happen, that's a gift that God has given you to believe whatever that is, whatever that situation might be. There's another place I want you to see, and this might help us remember it a little better. Matthew 14. Take a look there, because this is a story I can say to you, and I know you know it right off the bat, but I want you to see something in here as well. Matthew chapter 14. Verse And if you look down to verse 25, it says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. So here's Jesus walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, he walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. Now, we understand Jesus walking on the water, okay? He created the whole place, so we're not too shook over the idea that Jesus could walk on the water. But now Peter is walking on water, too, which we know it can't happen. That's not a natural thing, okay? So what's going on here? Peter said, hey, you tell me, if you're really Jesus, you call me and I'll come to you. So Peter gets out of the boat. I would have loved to see the look on his face, because I don't know if he really thought he was going to walk on the water or just be able to swim out to Jesus. I don't know. But when he got out of the boat, he started walking on the water too, and he started walking toward Jesus. Now, it took faith to get out of that boat, okay, to know that, okay, I'm coming, because he steps out on the water and he's now walking. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. And notice what he says. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Now get this picture, okay? Think about what Jesus said. When Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on the water, he was not doubting. He had no doubt. All of a sudden, when he saw things, then he started to doubt, then he started to sink. Okay? Now, as far as I know, any kind of extreme faith like that is from the Lord. I don't think we can muster that stuff up, okay? I don't think Peter was waking up that morning saying, man, today's the day. I'm going to walk in that water today. I'm going to do it, you know? I'm going to believe God. I'm going to do it. I don't think that happened at all. I think Peter got up like a normal day, and when Jesus said, come, Peter instantly had the faith to believe he could come. And he stepped out. And he was doing it with no doubt until all of a sudden he did. And then Jesus kind of said, Peter, you got a little faith, you know. And the picture was, you need great faith to do my stuff. You need great faith. So this picture we see of the gift of faith, where God gives you a chance to believe him on something, and it can happen, you know, without any doubt almost in your mind. That's a gift from the Lord when that occurs. I had a situation I can think of one time when I know that happened with me. I had counseled a guy. I don't know whether he was a believer or not, but his daughter was. She was a new believer in the Lord, and she was going through a divorce. She had not been divorced yet, but she was wanting to date this other Christian guy. And they were basically already dating, although they weren't calling it that. We were just going out to have dinner sometimes and things like this, you know. Well, this couple had come to ask me, is it okay what we're doing? And I had to tell them, well, you know, you're a married woman. You're not divorced. You know, even though she was going through a divorce, she's a married woman. I said, so to be going out with this guy, I said, you know, that's not right. You cannot do that stuff, you know. So apparently her dad got wind of this, and he was going to straighten me out, you know. So he wanted to meet with me, so I said it was counseling, I guess you would call it. But anyway, I went to talk to him, and he was letting me know. He said, look, it's a done deal. The divorce is next week, and it's going to be final. So what's the big deal, you know? In 1 week, it'll be taken care of legally, so you don't have to worry about it. So just leave them go. They're a nice couple. They like each other, let them go, kind of a thing, you know? And it really irritated me because the way he was talking about it was like, divorce isn't a big deal and God doesn't care, kind of an attitude, you know? It really hit me in my spiritual heart. It wasn't for me. I didn't, you know, what am I personally got to do with this thing? But it really bothered me spiritually that he did that. When I was leaving that night, I was praying. And I said, Lord, please don't let that go through. And when I prayed, I could tell you without any doubt, it was not going to happen. Next week, that divorce was not going to go through. I had no doubt that it was not going to take place. And guess what happened? That week came, and the divorce did not happen. And I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. I just praise you. And the point was to teach this guy that you just can't play with life like that. You know, God's in control. God's doing things. And how dare you just take the things of the Lord and look at them so lightly. Like I said, I'm not sure the guy was even saved. I don't know that I was talking to. If I had to put money on it, I would have to say I don't think so. But it really bothered me. And that's the only time I can think of offhand that I had that kind of extreme faith on something that I could have just guaranteed you that was going to be the case. Now, maybe in your life, maybe you've had that. Maybe when you pray, you have that happen often, where you pray and you just know it's done. I mean, I've heard people say that, you know, where somebody said, well, let's pray about this. And they did. They said, okay, it's done. God's taking care of that. I know. It's okay. Well, that's possible. They have that gift of faith working, you know, where they know when God's doing something. God just kind of, I don't know, he rings the bell or what and says, it's done, you know, and they know that. So if you have that gift too, let me know, because I'm going to use that for you a little bit more when we need to step out and trust things, trust the Lord on that. So anyway, that's another gift that's mentioned to us back in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go back there again. We're going to look at a couple more of these, but some of them we're going to put off till later, okay? And go back to 1 Corinthians 12, and it mentions in verse 9, to another that gift of faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by that one Spirit. And these are miraculous healings. Okay, and by that I mean they happen instantaneously, or they happen when they shouldn't happen. May not be instantaneous, but somebody gets well when they weren't supposed to get well, according to everybody else, the doctors and all that. Okay, that's a miraculous healing. Now, Jesus did that all the time. We already looked at one of those where Peter helped the guy stand up and walk, and that was a miraculous healing. Okay, and there might be somebody among us today who knows that, you know, I seem to pray for people when they're sick and they do get well. You know, you might have that working with you. And this is an interesting one if you look at the wording, because it doesn't say the gift of healing. It says gifts of healings. Okay? And the picture is, it's not that this guy is a healer. All right? But it's God has given them the ability by prayer and trusting the Lord to pray for folks, and the Lord gives that person the gift to be healed. Okay? It's kind of like I see it almost as a postal worker that's carrying these gifts and able to deliver them, you know, because they're not the healer. The Lord is the one who's the healer. They simply are able to pray for people, and the Lord seems to answer that prayer for healing for some reason. Okay? And again, if you have that gift, please let me know, because we could use that. We have folks that are sick from time to time, and I know they could really use prayer. Not to say that our prayers aren't effective, but if the Lord's blessed us with a gift like that, let's use those gifts. Okay? And like I said, I don't like these guys who put up a sign that say, I'm a healer, you know, come see the great healer kind of thing, because they're getting in the way of what the Lord's doing. I think the Lord intentionally ordered this way that we don't do that kind of stuff, okay? So be very, very careful when somebody puts the banner up and says, we got this great healer coming tonight. Be careful, okay? Because like I said, the devil likes to play with these gifts and get attention away from Jesus. Jesus gets all the glory, not part of it or little. He gets all of it, okay? All right, go on then. It says in verse 10, to another, miraculous powers. And this is, let's take a look at Acts chapter 12 just for a second here, because this is another picture we've got here we can see. Acts chapter 12, and down to verse 5. It says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side, he woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel was able to get him outside the prison. And that whole thing was a miraculous event that took place, okay? Now, you get to the end of the story, and Peter shows up at the house where the church was praying, the group of believers, and they were shocked that Peter was at the door, okay? Now, what I think is going on here is people were praying for him, and there was a miraculous power that took place where, you know, the angel showed up, the chains fell off, the door is open, he's walking past the guards, and nothing was stopping him, okay? That's pretty miraculous, all right? You might say, wait a minute, where's the person that did this? Okay, where's the person with the gift? Well, it doesn't make a difference, does it? Who cares who the person was? The body of Christ was praying and a miraculous thing occurred. And I think that's the point. It's not the person, okay? It's the power of God working. And that's what the Lord wants us to see. The body of Christ, we're to work together in the gifts. It doesn't make any difference who has what gift, as long as we're using the gifts to serve. So it's really not on the person. All right. Now, for all I know, and I'm speculating on this, just so you know, there's very possible there was somebody in that church praying that the Lord had blessed with this, and all of a sudden there's answered prayer, you know, and you say, that's cool. And I don't think it matters who gets the credit for that prayer. because it was God who did the work. Okay? And I might be off on that. Like I said, that's speculation. But I do think that there's the Lord still blessed us with people who have this kind of ability to pray and see things happen. Now, the Lord will answer your prayers and mine too. So we're not saying we have to get special people to pray. But if we have the gift, why not use the gift also? Okay? You can almost see, can't you, that if you have these gifts, there's a prayer thing that you have more power in, I think. God's giving you a little extra stuff to work with here. Pray, using that gift. You find out what your gift is, pray, and ask the Lord to use it. Because that's what He wants to do. That's why He gave it to you. We know somebody who's gifted in evangelism. And they have a heavy burden for people. You know, they're out there wanting to talk to people about the Lord. And a lot of times the Lord taps them on the shoulder and says, see that guy over there? Go talk to him, you know? And then they're using that gift that way. And I know their prayers are more effective when they start praying for people because they get such a burden. So when you figure out what your gift is or you have an inclination to know, I think this is where the God wants to use me. Man, pray and ask God to use the gift because He's given it to you to be used. Okay? So it goes on here in verse 10 to another prophecy. And prophecy is simply speaking God's word. Taking God's word and giving it to whomever God shows you to give it to. Most of the time, I think it's going to be the actual word of God you have in your hands. There are times, I think, where the Lord might lay something on your heart to share with somebody, but you've got to be real careful in that one, too. And we're going to talk about that more when we get to chapter 14, because the Lord really focuses in on the gift of prophecy more. So we'll get to that later, okay? To another, distinguishing between spirits. And this is a ability to be able to see something that's of the Lord or something that's not. When people look at it, they don't see that in the situation. Okay? Now, we're warned about this in 1 John 4, if you want to take a look. This is an extremely important one for the body of Christ also. It's kind of a shame you don't hear a lot of people talk about this gift, but it's one that's really needed in the body of Christ. In 1 John, I hope I told you 1 John. I'll just read it to you if you want. 1 John chapter 4 says in verse 1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Not a few, but many. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. So we're warned that we need this gift because there are many false prophets out there. Okay? So this discerning of spirits it talks about back in 1 Corinthians 12, this is a supernatural ability God has given at times that when someone sees something going on, they right away know that's not of the Lord. They might be using some Bible terms or words, but you have a sense that there's something wrong with that. Okay? And I think the Lord's given that to us. And by the way, the Lord might use these gifts in different ways with us. You might be given a situation where God might give you the gift to teach somebody something on the spot because that person needs it, okay? You might be given a gift of evangelism or outreach or something on the spot because the person in front of you needs that. So don't just say, well, this is my gift and I don't have that gift, so I'm not worried about that one, you know? The Lord might use any of these at any time for the person that needs it. And I just think of that with this gift here, we're talking about the distinguishing between spirits. Now, let me tell you, and this may sound really bad, so I hope you don't get too shook on this one. I don't have that gift of distinguishing between spirits, okay? And I wished I did. I mean, as a pastor, I would like to have that one, but I don't. And I think maybe it's a good thing I don't. It keeps me humble because I have to rely on other people, okay? So I have to stay real close to the Word, too, right? And I just say, I know I don't have this one. I took the family one time to a church. And we were visiting, and there was some wild stuff going on in this church, okay? So I'm trying to just worship the Lord and, you know, focus on the Lord and not really paying attention to stuff going on around me everywhere. And I talked to the family, and I said, what'd you guys think of the church? And two of the kids and my wife said, that was not good. You know what I mean? That was not of the Lord. There was some bad stuff going on there that was not of the Lord. And I'm like, really? You know, because I'm just having a good time, you know, enjoying the Lord and kind of paying attention to the message and all this stuff. And then they started pointing things out to me. Well, this here, you know, that was not right. And I tried to debate a little bit with them. Said, oh, that wasn't really going on. And they said, oh, yeah, that was going on. So And see, that's cool to me that I know people close to me that have that, okay? So I just cautioned you that if you don't have that gift, then you need to stay close to the Word. And secondly, if you know somebody who has that gift, run things past them again, okay? And ask them, what do you think about this? Because I praise the Lord for that gift. It's pretty cool when you say, what do you think about this? And they go, oh, no, no. You know, it's like, that is not good. So pray for me. I could use that sometimes, you know. But I do, like I said, I got to stay close to the Word. I've got to humble myself and trust what I hear from other folks. Now, if you have someone like this, I just encourage you, listen to what they're telling you, okay? Sometimes they might seem to come across real strong, or they might come across as not having compassion or something, you know, but listen to what's going on, because the Lord might be putting a warning in front of you, okay? Like it tells us, there are many false prophets out there, a lot of false teachers, so you got to be careful. Stick to the Word. You know, if you're like me, you know you don't have this strength in that area, stick close to the Word. Check everything out by the Word of God. All right, just to be careful. Now it goes on, it says, to another, this is back in 1 Corinthians 12, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and we're going to see all about that one in chapter 14, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues, and that's tied in with the other gift. Verse 11, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. So who's doing the work? The Spirit is. And He gives them to each one, so every one of us have been given a gift, just as He determines. Okay? So this is God's design to put us together. Now He's going to use an illustration to explain this to us and help us see how this was supposed to work. Verse 12, the body is a unit, one unit, though it is made up of many parts, and all the parts are supposed to work together. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now this is basically telling us, so we're all on the same team. All right? So we don't need competition between the gifts. We need to let them work together. So we're on the same side. By the way, there's a picture there too in verse 13 that says we were all baptized by one Spirit into the body. When you trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit took you and baptized you or submerged you into the body of Christ. And that's a cool spiritual truth to know that you're safe in the Lord. When you trusted Jesus, He took you and He placed you in Jesus and He submerged you. Picture of baptism there. And that's one of the things the Spirit did for us when we got saved. Okay? All right, verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And it's saying that you don't have to have the other person's gift to be part of the body of Christ. Whatever gift God has given you, whatever He has designed you to be, you're okay right where you are. All right? It says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, if everybody were just one item, where would the sense of hearing be? We'd lose something if everybody had the same gift. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. So understand this, that God made you the way you are. And He gifted you the way He gifted you because He wants to use you just that way. All right? So in this picture of the body, the Lord has made me a mouth. Okay? That's what part of the body I am. I'm the mouth that's supposed to be letting God's Word come forth and His teaching come forth for folks to understand. So whatever part of the body God has made you or me, we serve the Lord by being exactly what He designed us to be. And don't worry about what gifting somebody else has. Don't worry about that. Praise the Lord. Because you know what? We're on the same team. Don't forget. Same team. All right? And this is a message, I think, a little bit to pastors, too, because a lot of times pastors, they think, man, that guy's so gifted, you know. Why can't I be like that guy, you know? When Lord's saying, no, I want you to be just what I called you to be, where I placed you with the gifting I've given you. You just do what I've given you to do. Okay? So it goes on here. It says in verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Okay? So everybody has a purpose. Every gift that God has placed in the body of Christ is useful, whatever that gift may be. And every part is important, and it's needed. Okay? So you are needed. Look what it says in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. You know, you think about that little toe. We think, well, the little toe isn't very strong. You can't lift much with the little toe, okay? But that little thing's important, isn't it? We guard that, because if you ever have been walking around at night in the dark in your house and you forget where a table was, that little toe becomes very important to you, doesn't it? Because it hurts when that thing gets damaged. So we protect those parts of our body that are weaker. You know, the body's working together. It's a picture of this. We're not saying, I don't care about that little toe. It can hit whatever it wants. I don't care. Oh, yes, we do. We care very much about that thing because of the pain involved. And the Lord's using this picture of the body of Christ so we would relate well to each other that way. There might be some people whose gifting doesn't mean a lot to us. That gifting is very important. All right, I know, and I don't mean this bad, but I've seen some people in the body of Christ who've been gifted with administration. Well, they don't really have a need for somebody who's got the gift of mercy. You know, the gift of administration says, here's the job, here's how it needs to be done, we need to do it, period, that's it. And then somebody with the gift of mercy might say, well, wait a minute, if we do it the way you said, we're going to hurt 10 people, you know. And the guy in administration says, we got to get the job done. You know, that's just the way it is. And this is how the gifts are supposed to work together, where the gift of mercy says, no, we can't do that, you know, because you're going to injure too many people by doing it your way.
Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the Word and not hearers only.
When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will